Mr. Corbyn, Syria is on the agenda at conference today. This is a big moment for your mantra of open dialogue and welcoming different opinions in the party, given that on this issue they're very polarised.
Well, I'm not sure they're that polarised, because nobody wants the continuation of the dreadful situation in Syria. Nobody wants to see more refugees fleeing for their lives. Everyone wants to see a settlement. Everyone eventually wants to see a political settlement. I think there's been a lot of progress this week with President Putin and President Obama meeting at the UN, with our Prime Minister David Cameron was certainly there at the beginning of that process, and the Security Council are discussing it. At the end of the day, there has to be a political solution in Syria. Maybe that's what we're going to get.
Your Shadow Chancellor thinks that if this goes to the Commons, there should be a free vote among your MPs. Do you share that view?
I'm not quite sure we're at the need for making those kind of decisions yet, because we don't know what the outcome's going to be of the discussions in New York. We don't know what the outcome's going to be of that whole process. Yes, there may be people who have different points of view. Maybe we'll be able to come together to an agreed position. I hope so.
Does it matter that not every word of your conference speech yesterday was your own?
I was sent some interesting words by Richard Heller some time ago. I looked at them and thought them, and I quite liked the way those things were put. And I included a very small part of my speech was from that. I don't think it's a problem. I think it shows that I diligently researched and resourced the speech. I also included references to Ben Okri, to Maya Angelou, and a quote from Keir Hardie, as well as a whole lot of other things on the economy, but quite a lot about the way I believe politics should be done, the inclusive nature of politics, and the respectful nature with which we should do things. It's an interesting and complicated speech to make, because at one level it's a speech to conference, to the party. At another level it's a speech to Labour supporters around the country and other party members who clearly cannot all be in Brighton today. But it's also a speech to the wider community of Labour voters and potential Labour voters, and of course people around the world. I enjoyed making it, and it got a very good reception in conference, and I've had very good feedback from a very large number and very wide range of people across the country.
But on the point of the poetry and the bits of philosophy that you included in the speech, how do you think that resonates with average voters who, in all likelihood, probably haven't heard of the people you're quoting?
Well, they've heard of them now, and surely that's a step forward. And so, listen, we all think, we all have ideas, and poets often are able to describe things for us in a way that maybe we can't so simply describe ourselves. So a few paragraphs of poetry in a speech, somebody that's thought quite deeply about something and put forward a philosophy, surely that's something we can be proud of and we could all be inclusive of. We all encourage our children to read poetry in school. We all indeed encourage our children to write poetry. There's nothing wrong with that.
Let's talk about the economy. The Institute of Directors has suggested that the noise coming out of the Labour conference on the economy has been pessimistic over the last few days. What does Labour need to do over the coming months and years to get rid of this tag that Labour's had over the last two election campaigns that it's economically incompetent?
Well, I'm disappointed they would say that, because what we're putting forward is an economic strategy for investing in infrastructure, investing in manufacturing economy in Britain, and that in turn will increase tax income and therefore reduce the deficit. What the Conservatives have done is run up a trade deficit of £100 billion a year, refused to intervene to protect the steel industry on Teesside, allowed our manufacturing industry to continue to decline, and a growing imbalance in our economy when promoted service sector over manufacturing, and that surely is not a good thing. We have growing inequality within our society. We have a lack of investment. These are crises that have to be faced. We are facing them.
When you took to the podium yesterday, how did you feel? Was it a big moment for you?
Of course it's a very big moment. It's the first time I've spoken to the party conference as leader, and I was introduced by a young woman from my constituency who I've known since she was in primary school. I'm very proud of what she was able to say yesterday and the contribution she and her family make to our community in Islington. It was wonderful to do that. I put forward my views. I got a very kind reception from people in the hall, and I've had good feedback from people around the country. No speech is perfect. Nothing is ever perfect in our society, but I wanted to set out basic ideas about how I want to do politics, respect I want to give to other people and hope to receive from them, and also the way we're going to develop policies within this party. We've got the biggest increase in membership ever. 160,000 people have joined Labour since the general election. 60,000 have joined in the past 10 days.
Just finally, there has already been an extensive review of your wardrobe for yesterday's speech with the jacket and tie, and this is something that's been a bit of a running theme over the last weeks, and particularly during the Labour leadership campaign as well. Do you find it amusing? Does it irritate you, or are you bored of it already?
Well, I find it quite amusing, actually. I mean, I don't have a very big wardrobe, as a matter of fact, and I like to dress in a way that I believe to be comfortable and respectful to the audience that I'm dealing with. And I have to say, even if I say it myself, I thought I looked rather smart yesterday.